This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. The star of the big and small screen for much of the 20th century, he remains a legend. He was an orphan, born during the First World War, rescued by an American soldier, and brought back to the States. This legend is the subject of Susan Orlean's latest book, the title, Rin Tin Tin, The Life and the Legend. Early in her story, she says he was born in 1918 and he never died. Susan Orlean is a staff writer for The New Yorker. She's the author of 7 books, including The Orchid Thief. Susan Orlean, good afternoon.
Nice to be with you.
So good to talk with you. You know, you write at one point that this book began not with a story or an idea, but with a feeling. What drew you to Rin Tin Tin?
The mere sight of the name Rin Tin Tin, after having not thought about him in decades, gave me this almost chill of recognition. I had been born a year after the television show had come on the air, and while I was far too tiny to remember specifics of the show, all I remember from the earliest memory I can even have is being in love with Rin Tin Tin, dreaming of having a dog just like Rin Tin Tin, begging my parents for a German Shepherd. But, of course, I hadn't thought about him in many, many decades, having had no occasion to think about him, obviously. I came across his name while reporting another story, and it was my Proustian Madeleine, my rosebud. It was just a feeling of such connection to a lost period of time, to my early childhood and to a million memories. And that's what drew me in, because I was surprised by how powerful the memory was and how emotional it was.
Dogs have been in movies since the beginning of the movies. What made Rin Tin Tin such a star?
He was, to begin with, a really athletic dog. He could jump a fence of 11 feet. He could leap and climb and really was an extraordinary performer. He was amazingly well-trained. He had a relationship with Lee Duncan, the man who found him in World War I on a battlefield, that was something exceptional. They had an almost telepathic way of communicating, and the dog could do just about anything that Lee asked him to do, and Lee didn't have to ask him very explicitly. Rin Tin Tin simply did it. But what he had that was really exceptional is something that is just star power. He had a quality that on screen made him very compelling. He was not a particularly beautiful dog. This was the original Rin Tin Tin. He was smaller and darker and not nearly as striking as the dog that many people remember from the 50s television show. But he had something. He had a quality that, you know, you could just call charisma. And it was a sort of nobility and seriousness that people really responded to. He was not a doggy dog. He was. He seemed to have a kind of sober upstandingness that people reacted to with great emotion. And he was simply beloved by people literally all over the world.
Yeah. I love the photo that's in the book with him looking down at a piece of paper that is rolled into a typewriter.
I love that. Of course, that's my favorite, as any writer would, of course, respond to that. He was posed frequently doing something that a dog, of course, would not do, like working as a hotel clerk or surfing, or, you know, he was photographed just like any other Hollywood star. He was photographed constantly, but very often doing things that were human jobs, you know, not so much as silly novelty, but almost as if This was a dog who could do anything. He could write a novel. He could, you know, fly an airplane. He could, and people simply ate up those publicity photos. They're great. They're wonderful.
Now, from the title of your book, we know this is about Rin Tin Tin, but it is also about, among other things, that very interesting man you mentioned a moment ago, the soldier who found Rin Tin Tin as a pup, Lee Duncan. What did he see in animals, and in particular, Rinty?
Lee was a really lonely guy who had been abandoned by his father, had been put in an orphanage for a number of years when he was a child because his mother simply couldn't manage to take care of her kids. And he connected with animals in a way that he never connected with people. And he was probably a very nice, genial man. Everybody liked him, but nobody really knew him. His connection was with animals. His connection with Rin Tin Tin was really special because of the circumstances. Lee was a young soldier in the middle of a horrible stretch of World War I. Not that there were any stretches that were not horrible, but this was a pretty brutal portion of the war. And Lee was sent to examine a field that the Allies had just taken back from the Germans. And he found a dog kennel that had been hit by artillery. He went in it to look and see what was there. And all the dogs had been killed. But he did hear some noise in the back of the kennel, and he went and looked and found a female who had just given birth to 5 puppies. Finding the dogs in that circumstance, in the middle of so much destruction and despair and sadness, I think Lee never got over it, never got over the sort of miraculous feeling that his life had changed from that moment on, and these dogs were a kind of talisman of his good fortune.
Yeah. You say this is a narrative that contains many stories. Is there a particular story that you're most drawn to?
Lee's life story is fascinating. I also got really intrigued by the story of Herbert Leonard, the man who was the producer of the 1950s show, and he had become Lee's surrogate son, really. Like Lee, he was totally devoted to Rin Tin Tin, not so much to the dog, but to the idea of the story of Rin Tin Tin, and the idea that this was a character that would last forever, that should live in everyone's minds for all time. And Bert was a real character. He was a sort of self-made man who came into Hollywood as Hollywood was becoming a much bigger business, not nearly the small, almost handmade business it had been when Lee began in the 20s. By the 50s, Hollywood was a big deal. But Bert was a renegade. He was an iconoclast. He fought with the studios all the time. He was sort of a firebrand. The thing I loved about him and found fascinating was he was absolutely devoted to the story of Rin Tin Tin. And even at a point in his life, after he had lost all his money, he had become a very powerful figure in Hollywood, thanks to Rin Tin Tin. He then lost all of his money through a series of foolish things on his part, and he was offered a lot of money to give up the rights to Rin Tin Tin, and he refused. His feeling was he didn't trust anyone with what he considered this precious stewardship that he felt, and he died penniless. A crazy decision, but a decision rooted in this passion that he felt for a story that, to him, was as miraculous to have found as Lee felt finding the puppies was. Mm. So I loved the parallel in their lives, and that sometimes also included some decisions that someone else might have looked at and thought were not good decisions, but they were dramatic decisions.
Yeah. Unfortunately, here's where we have to wrap it up. I do want to recommend to our listeners your book, Rin Tin Tin, The Life and the Legend. And Susan, thank you so much for talking with me this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Susan Arlene's latest book, the title, Rin Tin Tin, The Life and the Legend. The book is published by Simon & Schuster.